The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk about in long robes, to be greeted obsequiously in the market squares, to take the front seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. These are the men who swallow the property of widows while making a show of lengthy prayers. The more severe will be the sentence they receive." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the treasury, and many of the rich put in a great deal. A poor widow came and put in 2 small coins, the equivalent of a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "I tell you solemnly, this poor widow has put more in than all who have contributed to the treasury. For they have all put in money they had over, but she, from the little she had, has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Some years ago, I came across the story of a man who traveled some distance to a neighboring town in order to go to a particular bookshop to buy a new Bible. He was looking for a small pocket-sized translation of the New Testament that he could easily carry about with him. So he went to the shop, and to his delight, he found exactly what he was looking for. There were several copies there, so he chose one which didn't look as if it had been too much fingered by other potential buyers, and he went to the till, bought it, and drove home. Pleased with his purchase, he, when he got in, opened the parcel and opened the Bible, only to find a very unpleasant surprise because the text had been bound into the covers upside down. His first reaction was one of anger. Why had the shop sold such a Bible? Why hadn't they checked it? He kicked himself. Why didn't he check it? It was too far to drive all the way back to take it back. He really didn't feel like doing that. But then, as he reflected, he actually began to laugh, and he saw the funny side of it. And he realized that his new upside-down Bible was actually quite symbolic, because it was an important reminder that the values of the gospel turn the values of the world upside down. That Bible would come to have an important value in reminding him that the teachings of Jesus are not the teachings of the world. The story we've just heard of the poor widow putting in the equivalent of a penny, all she had to live on, is a wonderful example of that teaching of Jesus that reverses the values of the world. In Jewish society, widows were understood as being in God's special care, simply because they had no one else, basically, to defend their rights. Poor in spirit, they trusted in God very deeply. They were promised that they would inherit the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus is putting across, or trying to put across, namely that it is total dependence upon God, not self-righteousness, that is rewarded. Total dependence upon God. Our admittance that we are not independent, but we are totally dependent on God. That is what he is looking for, not self-righteousness. So therefore, the world which shows us particular models for success in terms of earning money, having a good job, and all of these things isn't necessarily going to work in terms of this model that Jesus presents. It's all turned on its head. The same thing applies to the widow in the first reading we heard, who is generous to the prophet Elijah. The thirsty and hungry traveler asks for a little food and water. In her heart, she wants to help, but she knows all too well that she has precious little to give. Nonetheless, trusting in God's promise, she unselfishly shares what she has and is rewarded with an abundance which is beyond her wildest dreams. Her world also was turned upside down. What about us? We tend to like things as they are, don't we? We like things to be as they always have been. Here in Cornwall, you'll hear it said, we don't belong to do it like that. We like things to be as they always have been. So therefore, it's difficult to accept any kind of change. It's hard to accept that God's ways are different from our ways, that he turns things on their head and therefore is likely to turn our lives on their head. And that's something we resist. It's startling to recognize that it is the generosity of the poor that can reveal God's plan in a special way, and that for those who go in the opposite direction and seek to further their ends in ways other than God's ways, well, they are likely to suffer consequences. I found myself reflecting on all of this. I suppose it was about 15 years ago, I was on holiday and I went to the beaches, the Normandy beaches, and I visited the war cemeteries there. Standing in those war cemeteries, looking at countless rows of headstones, each of which told the story of a young life wasted, my thoughts turned to Hitler and the others whose greed, selfish ambition, and desire for power had made it necessary for such incredible sacrifice on such a vast scale. Like all worldly people, Hitler and his cronies had gone to the ultimate destination reached when one follows the way of the world rather than God's way. It's an extreme example, but it's a very good one. By obstinately doing the very opposite of what Jesus taught, Hitler had set himself up as a kind of god, not only deciding on who was fit to live in society and who should be exterminated, but desiring also to have dominance of the whole world. We recall to mind those other words of Jesus, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his very self?" Well, Hitler is a wonderful example. The outcome of his folly and that of other ambitious men in history is enough to make us weep, literally. What it all comes down to is that, spiritually speaking, each of us is presented with a choice. We can choose life or death, spiritually speaking. We either follow Jesus, who turns the values and ideas of the world upside down, or we go our own sweet way. And Jesus warned that that is a broad and easy path, but it is one which leads ultimately to destruction. To follow the way of Jesus means being serious about following his teachings. Therefore, we have to be serious about finding what his teachings are. That means we need to be serious about studying the scriptures. We need to be serious about our prayer life. We need to be serious about coming to the sacraments. When we do all of this, all the things the church has provided for us, we gradually become aware of the need to change. It's called conversion. What did John the Baptist proclaim? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What were the first words of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are called to repentance. We are called to conversion. We are called to be prepared to turn everything on its head, not just to go on in the way that we always have done. Conversion, admittedly, is a slow, painful process. It takes place every day. It requires us to develop our trust in God as we begin to see things in a different way. Perhaps we could all do so with such practical reminders as Bibles which have the text put in upside down, as the story I told earlier. It's also about vulnerability, and that's something else we find difficult. We have to admit that we are dependent, utterly dependent, on God. And the widow in the treasury knew, when she put everything she had in, just how vulnerable that made her. We need to recognize our total dependence on God. When we have grown up learning to be independent and self-reliant, of course, that's very difficult. It's difficult to leave all that behind. But that's what God calls us to do. He asks us to be prepared to put our hand, as it were, in his and to go out into the unknown. As Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. It is always about moving forwards, looking forwards, being prepared to follow the Lord wherever he calls us. The rewards are great, and we must follow his way, not our own, if we are to enter the kingdom of heaven.